to Didn't See It Coming, the podcast about brands that learn from the past, are looking to the future, and are profiting because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber.
On September 28th, I debuted a new speech that I'd written called How to Lizard-Proof Your Brand. I debuted it for a group of about 100 financial advisors at a conference in Vancouver. Judging from the response, they got some real value from it. Luckily, I had the speech recorded, so I could share it with you here today. I hope you get some real value from it too. Enjoy!
Now, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. I will be mentioning some statistics. I will be mentioning some books. I will be mentioning some case studies. So if you're the type of folks who like to write things down, I know some of you were taking pictures for the last presentation for Angela stuff. If you are the type of folks who like to write things down, please do not. I would be happy to send you a full transcript of this talk afterwards. All you have to do is give me your card or send me an email. Alright? If, however, you do have fidgety fingers and you like to do stuff while I'm talking, feel free to tweet like mad if you hear any nuggets. That's my handle. Should we get started?
Yeah. Alright.
Alright, some people are awake. Should we get started?
Yeah. Yes.
Alright. The lizard brain. It's a concept that is pretty top of mind, pardon the pun. It's pretty top of mind today. I'm sure the majority of you have heard of the lizard brain. Hands? Yeah? Okay, a good number of you have heard of the lizard brain. For those of you who haven't, or are kind of fuzzy still on what implications the lizard brain has for your business, because it has a huge implication for your business, I thought I would start today by just going through what the lizard brain is, what it does, and what role it plays in your business. All right? So, the lizard brain. Over the millennia, from the time that we were living in trees to today, we have evolved. And our brains have also evolved. Back in the day, though, what we had was this little tiny nugget in our head called the lizard brain, or the limbic brain, or the reptilian brain. You've heard it described a dozen different ways. But it was this little tiny nugget that had a very specific purpose. Over the millennia, as our society grew more complex and there were more demands on our brain grew. But it didn't just get bigger, it grew kind of like a sapling grows into a tree. Sapling starts as a little tiny stick, and every year a fresh growth of bark forms around it. So there's layers and layers and layers of bark that become the rings of the tree, and that's how the tree trunk grows. Well, the brain developed much the same way. It started out with that little teeny nugget called the lizard brain, and over the course of the millennia, as we grew more and more complex in what we had to do, layers of brain grew around it. And if there's any neuroscientists in the audience, I apologize right now for mutilating that description. So the lizard brain, bless it, was a very simple thing. And it had to be simple because we lived in relatively simple, dangerous times. It dealt with only three things: fight, flight, or mate. Okay? Much like a 14-year-old boy. Uh-oh, there's a saber-toothed tiger. Better grab a spear. Or else, uh-oh, tiger's a little bit too big. Better run away. Or, uh-oh, I better mate with that one. It was perfectly suited to the times because what we had to do was survive and thrive and propagate the species. Anything else, any sort of complex thought that might have crossed the transom and hit the lizard brain, put that brain to sleep. Sorry, folks, we're close. Come again tomorrow. Now, you would think that as our society grew more complex and the demands of our brain grew more complex, that the lizard brain would, like Route 66, become sort of a dusty vestige of what used to be, unused by most in an era of superhighways. And there you'd be wrong, because the lizard brain is alive and well today and playing an extremely important role in our everyday life. The lizard brain has become the gatekeeper to all the other parts of the brain. No matter how complex a thought you, as a financial services professional, want to convey to your clients, it has to pass through the keyhole of the lizard brain. And the lizard brain thinks like my 14-year-old son. Remember that next time you talk about compounding interest. Now, the lizard brain is not just a filter, a gatekeeper. The lizard brain has lately, since about 2000, I would say, come into a whole new role. The lizard brain is living in a very happy place. Why? Because we, as a society, are living more blink-reaction lives than we ever have since the time when we were hanging in trees. You want proof? Here's proof. That is 100% lizard brain in action. When your happiness, sadness, frustration, anxiety, and fear are dictated in 140 characters, a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a poo emoji, that is your lizard brain in a happy place. South of the border, they have just voted for a president who runs the country with a lizard brain. That's a scary thought, but it's true. Concepts like fear of missing out, joy of missing out, mystery of missing out, the idea of missing out, that is the lizard brain. Uh-oh, there's food over there. I'm missing out. I better go get some. Uh-oh, my boss is going to fire me. Ah! Oh, I don't want to miss out on that. Maybe I want to mate with that. That is the lizard brain in a happy place. So if any of you are thinking, lizard brain, been there, done that, couldn't be more wrong. The lizard brain isn't the only brain, though. As I said, like a sapling, growing layers of bark that become the tree, other parts of the brain have evolved around the lizard brain. So if a message that you send goes through the lizard brain and the lizard brain says, all right, I'll let that one go, you don't automatically get to the abstract math thinking brain. The next place you go is what's called the midbrain. And the midbrain is in charge of social context. So this is a very simple concept, actually, if you think about it. Somebody runs up to you to tell you something. The lizard brain goes, okay, well, he's telling me there's a saber-toothed tiger coming. Midbrain, what do you think? Midbrain goes, I don't know that guy. I think all he wants is to steal our campfire. Or, I do know that guy. He's part of our tribe. We better listen. We better get our spears. That's the midbrain in action. And the midbrain, like the lizard brain, is very active today. Case in point, Apple computers. Perfect example of relationship-based marketing that is based on social context. Apple computers have roughly the same types of parts as any other computer. Apple computers do roughly the same thing that every other computer does. And yet, we will stand in line the night before in the rain for the latest Apple computer, for which we will pay double what we would pay for a PC. Is it because we're idiots? Of course not. We are Apple people, right? Explain that. I can't. It's a relationship thing. I am like Steve Jobs. We're all different. We're thinking different. The whole herd of us, we're all thinking different. I know, it doesn't make sense, but that's the magic of social context. That's the lizard brain, that's the midbrain, and now we move on to the part of the brain where most of us live. This is the neocortex, the most evolved part of our brain. And in the neocortex, financial advice happens. Abstract concepts happen. Religion, philosophy, politics, compounding interest, RRSPs, RASPs, estate planning, and the most abstract concept of all, money. That's where these kind of thoughts get mulled around in the abstract neocortex. However, we have to bear in mind that this could not be smooth sailing. There could be some bumps in the road. Because remember, if you start talking about the magic of compounding interest, a lot of the people who are listening through their lizard brain, their 14-year-old boy brain. That lizard says, I'm very scared. Proof? Einstein said it best. Don't worry about your problem with mathematics. I assure you mine are greater. Now, of course, he was a bit tongue-in-cheek because Einstein was cracking the biggest math problems in the world. But there's another side to this problem. A lot of us have a lot of trouble with math, with abstract concepts. For example, the Hoover Institute did a study a little while back. They found out that 7% of US students have above proficiency skills in mathematics. In Canada, it's about 15%, a little bit higher, but still, no great shakes. Students performing at proficiency in mathematics, that is, they can balance a checkbook and they can do the times tables, are about 32% in the US, about 42% in Canada. A lot better, but still, no great shakes. What does that mean to you? If you start talking abstract concepts to people, their lizard is going to get pissed. And you know what happens when the lizard gets pissed? It shuts down and says, thank you very much, come again tomorrow, see ya. I'm going to go mate with that. And trust me, the lizard is not looking at you saying, oh, thank goodness, here's a financial services professional who's going to take this complex concept and explain it to me in a way that my lizard will go, oh, that's okay, now I understand. No, that's not what the lizard does. What the lizard does is look at you and go, Bernie Madoff. Here's a guy who is trying to use some sort of fancy big words to swindle me out of money, which I don't have a particularly good relationship with anyway. I'm going to run away or kill him. That's what I'm going to do. So those are the three types of brains that we're dealing with right now. But I want to narrow our focus down to the lizard brain, because I think we don't spend nearly enough time thinking about how to lizard-proof your brand. So let's talk about brands. First off, I believe that a large number of you are saying, ah, I don't need to talk about brands. I'm a onesie-twosie. I work on my own. I'm not Procter & Gamble. I'm not Ford or McDonald's. Wrong. You are a brand. Kim Kardashian and Madonna discovered this a long time ago. But how you walk into a room, how you wear your hair, how you speak, what drink you drink, says everything about you. Remember, we're dealing with a lizard here. The lizard says, huh, attractive, not attractive. Attractive, send that on to the midbrain. Midbrain goes, is that my kind of person? Is that my kind of lady? All right. Then they'll let the message get through. So you are a brand. And how you present yourself dictates whether what you say gets through the keyhole past the lizard brain. Now, brands, a lot like our brains, have evolved. Not over the millennia, but let's go back, say, 100 years. Back in the bad old days, right around World War II, brands had very much an informational and expert role in our society. I'm not sure you can read this, but this is a very famous ad for Rolls-Royce from the 1950s, and the ad says at 60 miles an hour, the loudest noise in this new Rolls-Royce comes from the electric clock. Pure information, nice little fact. It's followed by 13 other facts written in the copy. How long they run the engine before they let the car go. How many coats of paint, etc., etc., etc. A little closer to home, how to get enough life insurance without eating up your budget. How to bake a great cake. how to treat your hair so you have no more gray streaks, how to build a shed, how to shoot a 22. That is what ads used to do. Because you know what? It was simpler times, and brands were a lot thinner on the ground. So if I did an ad like this, somebody would read it and go, that's very helpful information. I think I'm going to buy something from State Farm Insurance. Now what happened? Technology happened in the form of commoditization. What that meant was that if this ad worked particularly well and State Farm Insurance did a bang up business in life insurance, somebody would rip them off in a heartbeat and suddenly State Farm would run an ad and everybody else's boat would get floated too. Now would you run an ad knowing that everybody's going to benefit from it? No way. So, smart brand people had to move on to the next stage. They moved on to relationship marketing, the funky handshake. And again, I'm going to go back to Apple. Apple, over the course of 20, 30 years, mastered the art of relationship marketing. And again, this goes back to the midbrain. The midbrain is all about, are you my kind of person? Well, I'm a Mac guy. You're a Mac lady. We're going to get along because we have something in common. I don't care if Apple sells frying pans because I know that they're my kind of people and I'd be more creative with an Apple frying pan, so I'll line up in the rain the night before to buy one at twice the price. That is the sort of brand that Apple built. And Apple built a strong enough relationship with people over those years that even when it had bumps, the passing of Steve Jobs goes away for a while. Things like that happen. They put out stinker products that don't work. YouTube releases all their songs onto the iPod without asking anybody. The relationship, like a human relationship, if it's strong enough, withstands those bumps in the road. Other brands that did that? Harley Davidson, the outlaw motorcycle. All the outlaw notaries and accountants out there, you know what I'm talking about. Because you strap on those chaps. And you're not William, you're Wild Bill on a Harley. Toyota did a great job. Virgin with Richard Branson did a great job. Patagonia, Yvonne Chouinard did a great job. But you have to understand that these relationships were built over years like a strong human relationship. So, again, technology got in the way. How? This is how. It's extremely hard to build a deep relationship with a person if what you've got is 140 characters or a thumbs up. So one of the prime complaints about social media is that the relationships are very wide, but they're razor thin. They don't have the depth. Somebody might like you on Facebook, but they're not going to help you move on moving day. So brands keep on trying to build relationships because it is a proven formula. But here's kind of what it looks like. You love Justin, I love Justin, we love each other, by Redmond. It doesn't work. In fact, it smells of insincerity. And you know the lizard responds to the smell of insincerity and not in a good way. Sorry, we're closed. Come again another day. So it's extremely hard with social media and a blink reaction populace to build the sort of deep relationships that companies like Apple, Toyota, Patagonia, Virgin, Harley Davidson did. Of course, where technology throws a roadblock in the way, technology also opens up another path. And that's what I want to talk about now. How many of you have read this book? Most of you can't see what I'm holding up. It's called The Trusted Advisor. Oh my goodness. Run out right now, skip the rest of my talk, and buy this book. This is an awesome book. It talks all about being a good business advisor to your customers, but I would say the trusted brand could just as easily be inserted in there because I believe that the course of powerful advice follows the same course that I've just described. At the very beginning of the book, the authors talk about the different types of advisors there are out there. Here, if you can find yourself in this list. First, there are the informative advisors. I ask you a question, you give me the answer. Next level up, there's the expert advisor. I ask you a hard question, you give me the answer. They're very utilitarian, they can be replaced. You ladder up one level, there's the relationship advisor. Yes, I still sell generic products, but you and I have a relationship with each other, so therefore we build a brand of trust. Apple, Harley Davidson, Virgin, Toyota, Patagonia. At the very highest level, though, and that's what I want to talk about now, is the advisor who, above all, strives to understand their client better than that client understands himself. And that is where the long relationships are, and that is where the money is. The trusted advisor is the one who strives to understand their client better than the client understands themselves. How does that translate into brands? Care of Vitamins first came onto my radar about a year ago. Vitamins and supplements. How many of you take vitamins and supplements? Yeah? The ultimate self you're trying to cultivate. Vitamins and supplements is a very messy category. Very messy. You can't tell one vitamin from the other. The prices are all over the place. If they work at all, they work very slowly, so you can't say that was the miracle vitamin. You go to a vitamin store, a lot of people giving you advice will give you contradictory advice. Who do you trust? Care of Vitamins thought of a way around this. Here's how it works. If you go to their website, and you should, you'll see two red bars as soon as you land there. Personalize and Get Started. Get Started is front and center. When you click on Get Started, Care of leads you through a questionnaire, an expertly designed questionnaire, it turns out, but extremely disarmingly friendly. The first thing you see is a little hand waving saying, "Hi there, can you tell us your first name?" Type in your first name. The questions get more and more involved as you go along. At the end of this questionnaire, you've given them all this data on what your biology is, what your psychology is, what your goals are, what you want to get out of vitamins, all that stuff. And then, for zero commitment, Care of gives you information. And that is one of the key things that trusted advisors do. Without asking anything in return, no strings attached, I will give you something of value to you. I'm going to tell you what all that information means because we're data crunchers. I'm going to give it to you, and then you can do with it what you want. However, by this time, you're starting to develop a bit of trust with Care of. You go, you know what, they gave me all this information for free. They might be good guys. So you go to the next step, and you say, what can you do for me? Well, what they can do is create hyper-customized packs of vitamins that work for you and you alone. In fact, these little packs have your name on them. Every day, you open up a little satchel, take the vitamins, knowing in confidence that that vitamin satchel was designed specifically for you. Even better, it comes in a neat pack like this. It comes in a neat pack like this that you can display on your counter so when people come by, you can show them just how superior you are to them because you are dealing with a next generation brand. And you can tell them, I trust these guys. They give me vitamins, darn it, that are way better than the generic ones. Why? Because you started to build this relationship because they understand you. Now, it goes further than that. They keep checking in with you and they keep asking for more information. Develop a deeper and deeper and deeper relationship. That's the beauty of an understanding brand. Now, I like this model so much that I developed it for one of my clients. Proven is a skincare client that I work with. And what's interesting here, I don't want to talk about the client or repeat what Care of did. What I want to talk about is say that you can tell that this is a new way of thinking. The ladies who developed this brand were not skincare experts. They came out of Silicon Valley. They're big data experts. Their specialty is gathering data from you and crunching that into a way that provides valuable insights to you and to them as a result. So it's exactly the same thing that happens with Care of. You take a survey, you get an infographic printed out, and then as a result, you get subscribed products that get sent to you, skincare products tailored to your skin and your skin alone. Now, the reason I want to talk about Proven is not to repeat what Care of does, but I want to talk to you about how far you can take this. What Proven is developing right now, as people are going through the questionnaire, because you go, that's kind of superficial, right? That's not really you. Well, how deep can we get into who you really are? What we're playing with right now is the idea of patches. You put a patch on your skin, mail it in to Proven, they get even deeper into your biology, what your skin really is. We're talking about blood samples. We're talking about DNA samples. 23andMe, it's already being done. We can track your DNA. We're talking about medical reports. We can store all this information, and through the magic of technology and algorithms and data crunching, we can keep feeding back to you a deeper and deeper picture of what your skin is. And you look at us and go, they're really good folks. I think I'm going to use their skincare. And so you subscribe. And that's how an understanding brand works. Marijuana. After I finish here, I'm going to be working with a client here in Vancouver, a client that is developing medical marijuana. The reason I want to talk about that client is that we're doing exactly the same thing as Care of and Proven. But I want to take a little bit of another perspective here, why we're doing this. Now, if you use marijuana already, you feel comfortable with it. But I can tell you that because marijuana is just coming out of the shadows now, every day it's legal, illegal, prohibited, doctors like it, they don't like it, it's a mess. There is no source of authority unless you go to a website like Leafly, or you go to a dispensary and a 20-year-old with a ring through their nose is giving you advice on what you should do for your 50-year-old niece. I don't think so. So here we are, 50 years old. Knees are hurting. We don't want to take conventional drugs. We want to try something different. We go to the doctor says, here's a script, get some marijuana. There I am at the dispensary again. It doesn't work. So, in a climate of confusion, in a climate of commoditization, if you can step over to the customer's side and say, talk to me. Talk to me about your knees, Mark. Talk to me about your back. Talk to me about all the stuff that's going wrong. And we are going to put experts on this and try to understand, and then take all this confusing marijuana talk off the table, and we are going to prescribe for you, or recommend for you, because you still got to go to the dispensary and still got to go to your doctor, but we're going to recommend to you what we think you should be taking. Oh, and by the way, when you've tried it, come back to us and tell us how it worked. That's what we're developing right now. In a climate of commoditization and confusion, and there's a lot of people standing at the door going, I don't want to get in. The way to bring them in and disarm their lizard brain is go, I understand you. I'm going to give you a lot of value for free, no questions asked, no obligation, and if we understand each other, then you might come around and buy some of what I got to offer. This funky looking thing is a chip. It's about the size of a credit card. My client Norm has developed this chip, and what they do with it, they grow human organs on it. What does that have to do with the lizard brain? Today, they grow tissue samples of kidneys, livers, brains, lungs, you name it, so that pharmaceutical companies can crunch the time it takes to bring a new drug to market, because they don't have to do animal testing. They can test on real human tissues without all the ethical concerns of killing people. So they grow human organs on chips, little teeny tiny samples. However, where this is going, and I'm not talking about science fiction here, I'm talking about 2 to 3 years down the road, is that if you have a problem kidney, or you have a problem liver, we can take a sample from your liver, a couple of cells, won't hurt at all, squirt it in there, grow a little bit of your liver, and then try different medications out on it. If you and I have a headache right now, we take aspirin, same pill, vastly different biologies. If we have kidney problems, you and I go to the doctor, we get the same medicine. It could help you, it could kill me. There is a lot of equity in trying to understand what makes a person tick. Personal health is moving in that direction. First, we seek to understand what you, not all of you, but you, need. Then, and only then, once we've gathered your trust, do we move to the next step of prescription. Now, you're looking at me going, all right, we're talking about doctors, DNA, medical samples, big questionnaires, growing kidneys on chips. How am I going to grow a kidney on a chip to help my financial services company? That's my last example. You don't have to. This is Tara Bosch. She runs a company called Smart Suites. She's 22 years old. She was at UBC until she discovered Smart Suites. Tonight, she's going to be on Dragon's Den, 8 o'clock, if you want to check it out. Very personable young lady. Here's her story. She was talking to her grandma around the kitchen table. Her grandma had a lot of problems with sugar because she loved sugar and it created a lot of health problems for her. Tara, very empathetic, said, you know what, I'm going to fix that, as only a 22-year-old would say. Amateur chemist that she was, she started cooking up stuff at the Camp family kitchen. And with a mold for gummy bears that she got from Amazon, she started making gummy bears with naturally low levels of sugar that tasted dynamite. In its first year, Smart Suites got into Whole Foods, Bed Bath & Beyond, GNC, now it's in Starbucks, and it's going to Whole Foods nationwide in the U.S. That's only a fraction of its sales. The majority of its sales are online. First year revenue with 1.5 employees was $1.5 million. She's 22. The magic of that, you're going, yeah, but she invented gummy bears. No, that's not the magic of that. You'd be missing the point if you thought that. The magic of Tara is not gummy bears. Because if Nestle or Mars or Cadbury decided tomorrow that they wanted to rip Tara off and put her out of business, they could do it in a heartbeat. What they can't do is replicate Tara. And the part of Tara that they can't replicate, apart from her enthusiasm and can-do spirit, is her magic with social media. Tara, her chosen tool is Instagram. She has 80,000 people in her tribe and counting. When she says Smart Suites are now at PharmaSafe, the shelves will be cleared out within hours. Vendors all over North America say, we have never seen anything like this. Vendors like Whole Foods. She calls on her posse, boom, Whole Foods is cleaned out. It's crazy. But that's not the magic of Tara's social media. The magic is not that she sets it to transmit. Because Nestle or Cadbury or Mars could easily, with a good social media agency, get to 80,000, 800,000 followers. What you can't do is communicate with those followers 30 times a day if you're the CEO, which is exactly what Tara is. She goes out there and goes, hey, how's it doing? How are you doing with cake and sugar? More than that, though, she's going, hey, what do you think we should do? There's the survey. And people tell her, we want vegan gummy bears. We want protein-only gummy bears. We don't even want gummy bears. We want suckers and lollipops. We want gummy bears here, here, and here. We want to buy it online. We want to on and on and on. Tara is building a relationship with her posse, with her tribe, built on absorbing information and trying to understand her fans better than they even understand themselves. And you know what's cool about this? Is that she's wrapped all this in a mission called hashtag kick sugar. Her mission is to bring low sugar alternatives that are healthy, not aspartame, that are healthy to the world and help people kick sugar together. What does that do? People come to you and go, I'm diabetic. This sucks. I love gummy bears. You're the only alternative. Can I talk to you? She's a heartfelt listener. What in fact she is a trusted advisor to these people long before they're customers. So there you go. That is how you build a brand of understanding. And I believe that is going to be the key for you to separate yourself in a market where information isn't working, expertise isn't working, relationships are having a harder and harder time working. Trying to understand, deeply understand, in a unique way, what the folks are up against who are buying your stuff is going to sell stuff. You know why? because the lizard's going to be happy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Didn't See It Coming, the podcast for brands that learn from the past, look to the future, and profit because of it today. I'm your host, Mark Stoiber.